Today's daf brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Pei Hei, and it means open your mouth wide. Tach Piyo V'Amaleu, and Picha V'Amaleu, and we're up to the bottom, actually. Remember what we've been talking about. We've been involved in relative ease of use. So we started off with the idea that there's such a thing that the Rabbanu were mitaken that if one of the chatzerot that are mixed with the other, so that they have a joint area that they both are sholeit on, if they're both the same, then that area becomes aser without an area between the two chatzeros. But if lezeh benachat, so the lezeh bekasha, so if there's a question, one of them gets ease of use, and the other one is not, so then we give it to the one whose ease is makes it accessible to them. We ended up with having three different definitions of types of usages. One is called petach, which means just openness. Doesn't mean a door. Direct openness to being used. The other is zrika, which means you got to stretch. You got to take a stretch. Doesn't mean throw. And the other is shilshul, which means you have to lower it. And those were the two dargas that were besides the petach. And we had a machlokas Rav and Shmuel about whether there's such a thing as relative ease of use or whether it's, if there's a problem, then there's a problem. And then to neither it's ease of use. Now we have another issue which we need to consider. Is there such a thing as a usage which is so difficult that even though you may have two people that are using the same area, it would not be considered to be a joint usage because it's just too difficult to be considered to be that they're both sholeit on. Now, yesterday we had an interesting idea that actually touched on this a little bit, except we didn't realize it, where we were saying that we've got a rishus harabim that's outside. And the question over there was, would the rishus harabim aser a mirpeset that to which they have access when the mirpeset has access to people on the roof? And that was sort of an interesting kind of issue that sort of bears on this, as we'll see today. We're going to bring it up again because it does seem to bear on this because the usage seems to be difficult beyond simply zrika or shilshul. I want to just remind you that we have one additional point that we raised yesterday, we're going to look into further today, and that is, how about if there are a combination of difficult issues? In other words, we had the case of the Venice Mirpasot, where you had a combination of the need for both Zrika and Shilshul for the people who were living on the lower level, and they needed to get their bucket up to the top and then go through the refrigerator box that was hanging off of the guy's porch, and that was Zrika plus Shilshul, versus to someone who had shilshul biyama. Could that possibly be a relative case of ease versus difficulty that even Rav would be made it to? We're going to consider that option today for the first time. Okay, so we start right at the bottom last line of Pedalet Amud Beis, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, a bor, shebein shtei chatzerot. So let's take our case over here. We've got two different chatzerot, and they do not have direct access to this area in the middle. And in fact, what happens is that there's the edge of the bor is 4 tfachim distance from the wall, meaning from the window of one of the homes. And it's also 4 tfachim distance from the window of the other home. And neither of them have a actual door that would give them access into this little area where there's the bor. So then the halacha is that, says Shmuel at least, that zemot say ziz kosher b'mali v'zemot say ziz kosher b'mali. So in order to be able to use it, they need to stick out some kind of shelf that's coming out from their window. And each one has got this little piece of wood that's sticking out, and then they can lower a bucket over the area of the pit. Okay, lovely. We've got a beautiful little picture over here. I think as far as I can make out, yeah, it looks good. So that would be okay. This is similar, by the way, we had this case of Aziz. Aziz doesn't really do a darn thing, right? The only point of Aziz, we had this before, in a case where we said that if you're in a boat and you need to get water into the boat, you put out Aziz and you utilize that Aziz. We said over there, it's just there as an indicator to remind you that in the event that the top of the yam wouldn't have been a makom tur, it would have been a karmelis, there would have been a problem. Fine. So we've met this kind of idea before. And Rav Yehuda, this instead of just quoting what Shmuel said, Rav Yehuda personally, Didei, he was quoting Shmuel, it was his Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Didei expanded on that, and he said, look, I mean, if you're talking about Aziz, it doesn't really mean Aziz. I mean, you could use anything, you know, you could use, stick out a reed from your window, a filokanya, both of them could have a reed, that's good enough, because the idea over here is just to make the point. So Abaye did not hear this entire statement. In other words, what he heard was never mentioned Shmuel. He heard Rav Yehuda mentioning that if you want to use the bar between the two windows like we have here, you need to have a piece of reed sticking out from both. So Abaye was wondering, where did Rav Yehuda get that from? Why would I need anything? I mean, you don't have access to the area. So Abaye said to Rav Yehuda, you know what? I think that Rav Yehuda got that from Shmuel. Now, we know darn well that he got that from Shmuel because we just read in the Gemara that he got that from Shmuel. But anyway, so he figured he'll work that out himself. And in fact, it couldn't have been. Remember, Rav Yehuda learned by both Shmuel and Rav. He couldn't have picked this up from Rav. You know why? Because I know, and here's the second time we've talked about this, but now we're finally going to look into it, that Rav holds that Ein Adam Oser al Chaviro Derech Avir. Now, this is a very important yesod, because the first time that we've met a shita that says that where you have two people with equal access, or equal non-access, or equal inconvenient access, then, basically, I see we've got the two people that woke up late today right next to each other. Barry and Moshe say good morning to each other. Both of you could use a comb. And it's great. We know that the daf is pulling you out of bed when necessary. So that's terrific. Especially when it's the middle of the night for poor Barry. So the idea over there is that if you've got two people that have a non-access, meaning they can, under like a lot of duress, make use of that area. They can't walk to it. They can't lower something into it. They can't be zorik into it. What they need to do first is they need to traverse in the air, like over here with the kana. They need to get to it, derech avir. I know, now we're going to ask how he knows, but I know that Rav holds that in that case, both of them are considered not to have access. So this is like the first time that we've had that. And when both have equal non-access, then they don't answer on each other when they actually use it. Okay, that's great. So let's see how it is that Abaye knows that actually Rav Yehuda learned this from Shmuel. So where did Shmuel say the thing that Abaye is convinced Rav Yehuda learned from him, that you would need at least to stick something out of the window? Mehecha. Is it from the fact that we have a quote of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, and that was the case that we had yesterday? Weird case, right? We've got the people living on a second story. There's a roof that's beneath them. And that roof is within 10 tefachim of a mirpeset, which is underneath that. And that mirpeset is within 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, which is outside. And remember, we said over there, if the people want to be able to keep the area for themselves, then what they need to do is they need to have a permanent staircase, a permanent ladder. Remember, the Gemara uses the word ladder as a staircase, same thing. And it's going to be going down from their homes on the second story. It's got to go down to the roof, because otherwise we're assuming that the Rishus HaRabim is going to aser the things that are going to be brought out there, because they also can get there. Now, what do you mean they can get there? I mean, they can only get there by throwing up something all the way up to that roof, right? Because there's no way that Rishus HaRabim is going to have direct access to the edge of the house to be able to actually put stuff there, because they always build these little traffic impediments that are up against, we've seen that many times, in the Rishus HaRabim to prevent people from damaging the edges of the stores or for overturning the stalls that are up on the side. So the sidewalks were protected, basically, by cones, you know, type of things that are not movable. So how in the world would the Rishus HaRabim be ossering things if they've got to stick their hand all the way over that area, or maybe even throw stuff up to the roof? I mean, that would show that you can aser derech avir, according to Shmuel, which would explain why Shmuel would hold that you need to have a ziz kol shehu, right? That's a pretty poor basis. I mean, that could be. We said yesterday, Rav Papa explained that that's not talking about that they actually put anything that's heavy up there. It's talking about these guys that need to take off their hat for a minute to sort of relax, you know, let the air get through their hair. I don't have any, but they did. And so when they go like this, the air gets all over the place. And they would just throw it up there. Everybody throws their hat there, and they just grab it, you know, with a little edge of the hat. So maybe that's talking about that kind of thing. That would make sense. That doesn't prove anything. That's not a typical avir that we're talking about over here, to be able to draw water through the avir. So that's not the right. Okay, so where does Abaya think that Rav Yehuda figured out from Shmuel that you need to at least have a reed? Oh, must have been from what I know from Shmuel, which we know through Rav Yehuda from Shmuel, so this whole thing is obviously a waste of time, that Zemotziz is kosher b'malik, Zemotziz is kosher b'malik. So you see that Shmuel holds time of the apik. It's only because you made an indication that you've got this piece of shelving that's sticking out of your window. But if not for that, apparently we would say that each one of them asers the other one, even though it is derech avir. So then that means, according to Shmuel, there's no such thing as equal non-access that will not aser usages. How do I know that Rav doesn't hold that? I mean, that's what Abaya said. He couldn't have learned it from Rav. He got to learn it from Shmuel. Where did Rav say otherwise? With the Rav Mihecha. I mean, is it from the refrigerator box case that we had yesterday in Venice, right? So maybe that was the case. So we said, we've got two porches. They're both sticking out over the canal in Venice. One of them is lower than the other one. And the question over there was, the lower one wants to use its bucket to go through the refrigerator box that was the mechitzat tuluya that was hanging out through the hole of the upper merpeset. So, and over there we said that in that event, they are both usher, right? And both usher means that you have two inconvenient usages. So far, it has nothing to do with our question. Our question was derech avir. Derech avir would have had to mean that there was a horizontal distance of more than four tefachim between them. And here's where we get to Rav, because Rav Huna quoted Rav about that Mishnah in Venice, and he said, yeah, this is all very nice if the lower balcony is within the somuch, it's right up against that other balcony, it's just under it, but it's very close to it. But if it would be four tefachim away, then there would be no problem. Oh, why not? Why not? It's still going to be able to get its bucket up there, and that's the way that it draws its water. So why will the lower balcony not usher on the upper balcony? Aha! Must be because there is such a thing as none access. So we have open access, we have easy access, we have difficult access, and then we have effectively no access. Even though you are using it, we don't call that the type of thing which would be an access that would answer on the other party. So, look, the only way to understand Rav is that he ascribes to this new fourth category of non-access, which is called derech avir. If it's more than four tefachim away, and then in the case of the bar that would be more than four tefachim away from either window on either side of it, it would be equal non-access, according to Rav. Nobody would ask for anybody else. Both of them would be able to use it. There would be no need to put out a Z's in the middle, and everything would be hunky-dory. But it's not a good proof. The reason it's not a good proof is, as I mentioned before, there was something that we forgot to consider. And that was, is a double problem it definitely relative no easy access compared to a single problem. And that's the case that we have over here. We don't just have the issue of one is Bezrika and one is Beshilshel. We have an issue of one is Bezrika and then Beshilshel, because from the bottom one, you got to get it up to the upper porch, then lower it through the refrigerator box. So then that's got a double problem. The people on the other one only have Beshilshel. Now, is it not possible that the issue over here is because of the fact that we've got a double problem? So maybe over there it's different, and not because of the avir, but it's kivan de lezeb zrika. You got to first get it across, meaning in this case we're using zrika, not in the normal sense of lifting up your hand, but you've got to actually stretch across horizontally. So maybe if you have a stretch plus a shilshel, then that indeed, compared to a guy that's just got to lower it straight down, That indeed is a big difference. And even Rav Ismoda, there is such a thing as a relative ease of use. And so then it would be the equivalent of comparing somebody who's got a direct access, meaning a petach, and the other guy has only got access bezrika. So I can't prove it from there either, because certainly ease of use is not set on the normal guy who cannot do the flying trapeze with the greatest of ease. And so for him, it in fact is going to be a non-access. Okay, I'll bring you another place. Let's say you've got two homes. Between the two homes, you have three churvot, right? Now, they're all broken up into each other. One of the homes is close to one of the churvas, and it's got a window that allows it access, but it has no way of going in there that belongs to him. I'm not sure I understand the picture, but why is it only showing one house with windows? All right. Okay, fine. So there's two houses with windows. Each one of them has an adjacent churva without real access. The churva is a little bit pulled away from the edges of their house. There's a path between it. They can still get to it. In the middle, neither of them can really get to unless they do it bezrika. So the halacha over there is that if you've got these three churvas between them, so let's call house A, house B, and then churva A and B on the other side, the middle one is C. So house A uses churva A, house B uses churva B, but churva C in the middle, the deal over there is both of them can use by Zerika, right, only, but the deal is that the middle one is also to both of them. Now, I mean, the truth is this doesn't make any sense, right? Because if we're trying to prove that Rav holds you cannot aser bezrika, so then the middle one should be mutter to both. I mean, the whole thing doesn't really make any sense. You're telling me I, in the A side, have a right to my A churva, despite the fact that the guy on the other side could also throw things into my churva. That doesn't bother me. Why doesn't it bother me? Because I get their bezrika, and he gets their derech avir. So then neither of them get to the middle one except their Achavir. So there's a problem. But let's assume for a moment that the reason that the other person doesn't Aser A and Mr. A doesn't Aser B is because the only access that they have is their Achavir. That's what we're assuming. We're ignoring the contradiction of the middle one for a moment. So Rav Bruna, who learned in Rav Zeshiva, he was saying this over. And again, as we've seen before, Reb Eliezer, he used to be the itinerant Mashgiach, to make sure that everybody knows what they're talking about. We found this case by Shmuel before where he said, show me where Shmuel lives. I'm going to take care of this. So here we have the same thing happening. Show me where Rav lives. Okay, so Reb Bruna is saying this over, and Reb Eliezer says, hey, kid, Barbe Rav, you're a nut. Rav said that? Yeah, he said, for sure. He really said it. Amalayin, show me where he lives. Okay, so so he shows him where Rav's house is. And Reb Eliezer walks in there and says, did you say that? Onto the camera, Rav. Omar Mar Hachi. So Rav said, yeah, what's the problem? What do you mean, what's the problem? You were the one who's been making this big fuss the whole time of saying that in a case where it's Lezeb Shulshul, Velezeb Zrika, Shneim Asurim, right? Didn't we just have that whole thing about the case in the Merpeset and so on? You said that there's no such thing as relative ease of use. So then I don't understand how this whole thing is working out, right? If you're saying that the middle area is Usr, why is the middle area of Usr? Because of the fact that you are able to Usr Derech Avir. I mean, otherwise nobody has any access except Derech Avir. So then why are you allowing the sides A and sides B, where over there the other guy also has access of Avir? The only explanation could be is that you agree that there's a concept of relativity of ease of use, right? So then you must be saying that the guy who's close is as a relative usage of Shulshul, and the other guy has got only Derech Avir, and therefore the guy with the Shulshul is the guy who gets it. And so too for the other side. But I thought you were firmly against the idea of relative ease of use. You were the one who said, look, if there's a problem, there's a problem. So now I don't understand. Why does the problem end in the middle house, and why doesn't it middle churva? Why doesn't it extend to the other churva? You're contradicting yourself. It makes absolutely no sense. Oh, my lady, oh, for heaven's sakes, you don't understand the case. I see that you weren't explaining the case properly. The case is not that you have three churvot A, B, C. The case is that you've got a tripod. It's kaimei kechatsuva. Remarkably, the modern Hebrew word for a tripod for your camera is a chatsuva, exactly, based on this idea. So it's made like a tripod, which means that you've got the two churvos on the bottom, so to speak. The upper churva is the camera, which is sitting on the on that, or we're looking down at the tripod's three legs. But in any event, the one that's on top, could you show us a picture, Jeff, sweetie? So the one that's on top, got a little bit of a shine there. Yeah, there we go. That's good. So you see the one that's on top has got access for both sides, and the ones that are on the bottom have access from both sides. And therefore, the difference is that the one on the bottom, to one guy it's closer, to the other guy it's derech avir. Mashenkin, the one on the top, to both of them, we have it direct close. And because of that, I say that the middle one is usur. That's the point. So that's how Rav explained it. We're talking about the kaimei kechatsuva. All right, so now according to Shmuel, you do usur derech avir, and because of that, you need to have that ziz. Or according to Rav Yehuda, it's enough to have just like a pole sticking out, and that's fine. Omale Rav Papa Rava. I'm very disturbed by this understanding of Shmuel. I'll tell you why, because it seems to me that the concept of a makom ptur is the equivalent of derech avir, right? Because, I mean, what is a makom ptur? The makom ptur is a place that is more than 10 tefachim, but it's not arba al arba, right? So if it's not arba al arba, so what did we say? We had that. I didn't find anybody even arguing on this. I mean, it was like the biggest sort of Dimi Omer Rabbi Yochanan. The people in the Rishus HaRabim could put stuff on it. The people in Rishus HaYochanan could put stuff on it. We just want to make sure, as long as you don't switch between the Rishus HaYochanan and Rishus HaRabim people, right? Then we said it's okay. Now, for all intents and purposes, since a mokum of arba al arba is the definition of makam, if it's less than arba al arba, it is not called munachan. It's not sitting on something. So where is it? It's in midair, in other words, right? Now, that would mean that if, according to Shmuel, things that are in midair, I can only use by putting it up in the air. Shmuel says, oh, doesn't matter to me. You're still going to asur it. If you've got two people that are going to be using things that are in the air, then they're both going to asur. Then I don't understand. Then the whole idea of a mokum ptur, which is allowed to be used both by Rishus HaYochid and by Rishus HaRabim, is automatically impossible because you've got two people that should be asuring on each other, and this is a rishus in which you've got different people that are utilizing. So I don't understand why he holds here all of a sudden that utilization derech avir is considered to be utilization, and apparently must argue with Kiyosar of Dimi Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mokam Shein Bo Arba'al Arba'ah, it's mutter levnei rishut hayachid lechatev for rishut harabim and for rishut hayachid to be mechatev bevacha lo yachlifu. Are you telling me Shmuel doesn't agree to that? No, hold on, buddy. This idea is a big chumrah, right? I mean, over there we're talking about a diaraisa. The diaraisa is, there's Rishus HaYochid diaraisa, there's Rishus HaRabim diaraisa. We're saying that they can both use it. Yes, they can. Because you know what? People take the Rishuyas diaraisa very seriously, and we're not chayshish that they're going to go exchanging. Over here we're talking about this imaginary Rishus, in which the Rabbanan decided that one Rishus HaYochid is totally different than another Rishus HaYochid. If you got different people utilizing something, you can't use it. And people don't take that all that seriously. And therefore, unless we're machmir to require these zizim, or to show that it's actually important that there are two different Rishuyas here, they are going to come and end up just forgetting the entire idea of the whole Yisod of Erevin. So where are you talking Rishuyas D'Oraisa? Yes. We're talking Rishuyas D'Rabbanan, the Chachomim, Osu Chizuk L'Divrehem, Yoter Mishel Torah. As we've seen many times, in places where the whole takana may fall apart, the Rabbanan were very machmir. Says Ravina to Rava, you're telling me that really Rav holds that you do not aser derech avir? But didn't we say, and this was Rav's maimer, famous maimer, we discussed this before, you've got a house, you got another house on the other side of the street, you've got a porch on one house, a porch on the other house, or window on one house. Can you throw things from one house to the other house over a Sarat Tvachim, which is a Makom Patur? So you're throwing from your own home into your own home over a Shesarabim through a Makom Patur. And Rav was quoted by Rabbi Bar Ravuna as saying, nope, you're not allowed to do that. You can't throw from one to the other. Shmuel was the one who said, you can throw from one to the other. I mean, I'm going crazy over here. It's the exact opposite of what they said. I understand I can explain Shmuel by saying, yeah, we said Shmuel is Moda. When you're dealing with Rishiyas D'Oraisa, we don't have to worry. But how do you explain Rav? All of a sudden, Rav is saying, Derech Avir, it's Aser. Armalei said, Rav at Ravina, you don't remember? We explained that whole sugya as having nothing to do with the question of the Makom Patur being Aser. It isn't Aser. The issue over there was, as I explained, Milav Miokimna Demidle Chad Umetate Chad. One of the windows, one of the porches was high and one was low. So over there, in order to be able to throw from one to the other, you have got to make sure that it goes straight in at the same time it's going up. That's difficult. And you may actually miss. And if you miss, what you threw is going to fall down to the ground, which is Rishu Sarabim. And over there, we're afraid that you're going to go and you'll go to recover the kid. Your son's going to go recover his baseball. So we don't allow him to throw from one to the other. It has nothing to do with the idea of Derech Avir. Zimda Benigad V'nafal V'as. Fine. So this finally gets us to the end of this sugya of relative eases of use, four different dargas that we had, which brings us directly to Sir Richard. Let's try that again. Mishnah. Ah, lovely, lovely. There we go. Next thing you know, we'd have Doc taking over. I mean, he was already starting to smile. I could see it. All right. So remember that the idea over here of an Erev Chatzeres is that what? Everybody in the Chatzeres is one big happy family. In the Mavui, what we're doing is everybody in the Mavui is one big happy Chatzer, which is a completely different concept. So because of that, if we're going to make an Erev in a Chatzer, it's got to be in somebody's house. We put it in the house because we're talking about really living together as if we are one family in a home. Mashenken, if we're putting a Mshit of Mavot, then it doesn't belong in a home. According to some, it doesn't belong in a home necessarily. I mean, it could be in a home. That's a Machlokas. And Machlokas Aposkim here, and Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara here. But over there, we would put the Shita for the Mavui. You would think we could put it in the Mavui itself. We'll see why that's a problem, because it has to be Shamur. But we could put it into one of the Chatzerot, right? And we don't have to necessarily have it in a house, as I said, or maybe we can't have it in a house, but that's a Machlokas. Okay, so now what kind of building is it okay to put the joint food into? Well, hanotenite ruvo bebechar achsader merpeset eno eruv. If you put your eruv in a place that is not suitable for a home, so then you're not showing your one big happy family, and you put it inside of the Beit Shar. We said before, if somebody's living in the Beit Shar, he doesn't aser the people in the chutzah, because that's not a house. Or if you just have a merpeset over there, or a pergola or something, that's not considered to be a home. So because of that, it's not an eruv. And by the same token, if somebody lives there, he doesn't need to join an eruv because he doesn't aser anybody in that eruv. Now, if you put the eruv, let's say, in a shed. So maybe it was a shed for straw, maybe it was a barn, maybe it was a shed for wood, or just a place where you store fruit and stuff, betot sarot, then it is a good Erev. And if somebody rented that to live in, and he's living in the chutzer in there, then he would aser unless he joins the Erev. Rabbi Yehuda said, well, not always, because in these type of like lower class buildings, so if somebody rented out his garage, and somebody's living in the garage, if the owner still has his things in the garage. So he's got a Tfisas Yad. We'll explain what type of things are we talking about. If he's got his things in the garage, then he does not Asur the Chatzar because he is viewed as the same owner of the house in the Chatzar. And this guy who's living there is his guest. So the guest would not have to have his own special Erev. Amar Rav Yehuda b'Rebbe Rav Shmuel bar Shilat, wherever the Chachomim say that if you live in a place, you don't asur the people in the chutz because it's not a valid home, the din is that it's also not useful for an Erev. But there's one exception. The exception is a Beit Shar on a single home. That's one possibility. It's not how Rashi understands the sugya. Rashi says a Beit Shar on a chutzar inhabited by a single family. Now, remember that we said before, remember the case where we had ten homes, all one through the other, and we had the big machlokas about whether the home number 9 is considered to be a Beit Shar for home number 10, or whether there's no such thing as a Beit Shar for a private home. So Rashi doesn't want to get into that, sugya. All right, so then what we're talking about over here, let's understand the logic. The logic is very clear. The Beit Shaar is a perfectly decent place to live, except for the fact that people walk through it. And nobody's going to want to live in a place where people walk through. If you've got a Beit Shaar of a single family, then putting their, as far as they're concerned, it's like our living room. People walk through our living room also, you know? I mean, obviously, if there's a somebody we want to invite and put him to sleep there, you're not going to put somebody to sleep in your living room that people walk through except as a guest. So that's understandable. But if I put the Erev there, I'm allowed to put the Erev in my living room. And therefore, the Beit Shaar of a private chutz or a private home possibly would be considered to be perfectly good for the Erev. But if somebody would live there, he would only be like a guest and he wouldn't ask. So that would be the sole exception to the general rule that I just mentioned, that the two are completely interrelated. No Isser is because it's not a good home. Not a good home equals no place for an Erev. Fine, except for the Beit Shaar. Now, how about, there's another klal that I want to also clarify. For every place where the Chachomim say you're not allowed to put an Erev, you are allowed to put the Sheet of Bavos, except for one place. And that is in the Mavli itself. You can't put the Sheet of Mavos in the Mavli for a completely different reason. It's because we need it to be Shamur, and it's not Shamur. So I understand. I mean, I know how to read the Mishnah. What exactly is Rabbi Yehuda teaching? It says, and that means it's not an Erev, but it is a Sheet of. So we know both of these things from the Mishnah. Why do we need Rav Yehuda b'Rebbe Rav Shmuel bar Shilas to tell me something I read in the Mishnah? Thank you very much. You know from the Mishnah. The two things that he taught you, you did not know from the Mishnah. One was the single family Beit Shaar. Did you know that from the Mishnah? No. And the other one was the idea of the Avir HaMavoy. Did you know that in the Mishnah? No. So those two things, the Lo Tanan, justifies his statement. And in fact, Tanya Nami Harchi, somebody puts his Erev in a Beit Shaar, Sadra, Bechotzer, B'movoi, it is an Erev. How could it be an Erev? The Mishnah says it's not an Erev. Go explain that. So therefore, it's got to be read as Harei Zeshitov, which is exactly what Rabbi Yehuda b'Rebbe Rav Shmuel bar Shilas said. And now, wait, but it says over here that a Shitov in a Mavoi is not considered to be good, you said. And it says over here it is. No, that doesn't mean that. It means a Shitov can be put in any Chotzer that opens into the Mavoi. Not into the Mavoi, of course. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, we had this, remember, way earlier, as another riot, you don't have to go in and out in order to bring some, the Sheet of the Mavoi. If you have people that are sitting together and eating, and all the members of the Chatzar, all the members of the Mavoi, are sitting and eating a picnic together right before Shabbos, oh my God, remember, as the Shkia is about to ring, ding, 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 and they're blaring the sirens, and they realize they forgot to make an Erev, or they forgot to make a Sheet of. So no problem. They can rely on the Pacha ala Shulchan, Somchin alayan Mishum Erev, or some say Shitov. And as Rob explained, well, I mean, they're not arguing. If they were eating outdoors in the Chatzar, it can't be an Erev, because an Erev has to be in the Bayit. But it could be the Shitov. If they're eating inside of one of the houses together, their picnic, so then it would be the Erev. Fine. But the bottom line is that we're talking about Kan b'misubim b'bayit and Kan b'misubim b'chatzar. So in that case, they each have their place. And Abaye says to Rabbi, yes, the way you explained it is for sure true, that it's not a machlokas, because it says, v'shitufei mevaot b'mavui. Now, remember that when we quoted that bright a minute ago, we said, what? Eruvei chatzerot b'chatzer? I thought it says, anotenet eruvu b'beit shach sadrum erpeset, is not an eruv. So therefore, the only way to read this is, eruvei chatzeros has to be in one of the homes of the chatzer, and the sheet of mavos has to be in one of the chatzeros in the mavui. That makes everything very clear. Okay, something that is not clear is Rabbi Yehuda, who claims that if you have tfisas yad in the garage that you rented out, so then the person who's living, your tenant in the garage, does not require an eruv in order to carry. And that you're the only guy that has to have the eruv. What exactly is meant by tfisas yad? Well, you know, Bunyas ben Bunyas, everybody knows Bunyas ben Bunyas. Bunyas ben Bunyas was a really rich guy. He owned houses all over the place, and he would keep stuff in there furnished and so on, or he would keep his merchandise there for selling. And as we're going to see, he was a great industrialist. He would ship all over the world. He had a whole fleet of ships and so on. And it means that kind of thing. So lots of times he lets people live in his home. He's got homes in every place. And but he has his furniture and things there, so nobody would have to be able to join the Erev because they're just considered to be guests. And you know, it once happened that Bunyas, Ben Bunyas, came to visit Rebbe, and Rebbe said, make way for the Fortune 500. This guy is worth $100 million. Okay. So a minute later, somebody else comes in, and he says, make way for the Fortune 100. This guy is worth $200 million. So Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi says to Rebbe, Rebbe, you know who this guy is? The first guy is Bunyas ben Bunyas. Bunyas, his father, owns 1,000 ships and 1,000 cities. Obviously, something of an exaggeration, but the guy is incredibly more wealthy than the guy that you said is worth $200 million. So why did you do that? Said Rebbe, yeah? Okay, if that's the case, then when you see his father, tell him the next time he sends his son out, he should be wearing a boss suit, not the piece of garbage he's wearing now. If he's going to send his kid out wearing jeans, he should not expect to get the type of respect that is due him, okay? Fine. Anyway, so Rebbe was very makvit to be mechabed. Crazy story, huh? So Rebbe was very makvit to be mechabed rich people. Rebbe Akiva is also mechabed rich people. And by the way, there's a very cute pshat, I think it's brought by the Mariel, who says that the reason that Rebbe was very machped to be mechabed rich people was because he was rich. And the people, he was also, obviously he was in the Golantar, but he was also rich. He was Zochel L'Shnei Shulchanos, as the Gemara says. So he wanted to make the covet that was given to him to be the covet for money and not the covet for Torah. So by being koveya that there was covet due for money, so because of that, he was careful to be mechabed anybody with money. This way, he wouldn't be nene from the Divrei Torah that he was learning. So no riot to it, of course, but it's very cute. Okay, yeah, anyway, so Kedidorash Rava Bar Mori, the reason that we could see in the Pasuk that there's an inyan to be mechabed Ashirim is because it says, Yeshev Olam Lifnei Elohim Chesed Ve'emet Man Yinsiruhu. So then that we're talking about the Melech, so he should be able to sit Netzach in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we should be Koveya, Chesed, and Emes, that they should preserve the king. But we're Mefarish it in the Drosha like this. Eimata Yeshev Olam Lifnei Elohim. When do we find a world that is sitting the way it should be in God's eyes? Bizman Shechesed Ve'emet Man Yinsiruhu. At the time when there are people that are giving man, meaning they're giving mizonas, through chesed ve'emes, which are all of these rich people that they provide for all of those who can't afford their food, that is yinsiru, that preserves the entire bria. Okay, anyway, so getting now to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Bar Chana says, it doesn't have to be furniture like Bunyas ben Bunyas. Even if you keep your garage, you keep the yatet of your machareshah. So you keep your lawnmower in the garage, and somebody else is utilizing it for a home. It's exactly the same. Alibi to Rabbi Yehuda, it is not viewed as a real home. It's viewed as a guest. But Reb Nachman says, look, it's got to be talking about that it's something that is muktzah. Because if you could move it on Shabbos, then why would you be koveya this person as a guest in the home of the guy who owns the lawnmower? If the lawnmower is a baby carriage, it can be taken out on Shabbos, and then that means it's not kavua for there on Shabbos. So it's only if it's a dover she'eno nito b'Shabbos, then he doesn't answer the chutzah. But if it's a dover on nito b'Shabbos, if the guy's baby carriage and not his lawnmower, then it doesn't, in that case, he would actually answer if it could be moved. Tanya nami ochi, if the owner is storing something that's immovable, like tevel, or he's got ashashiyot, metal, just stam metal, not kalim, or kol davar she'eno nito b'Shabbos, eino oser. But if it wouldn't be something like that and could be moved on Shabbos, it would be oser.